Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Sahar ka waqt tha masoom kaliyan muskurati thi hawaye khair maqdam ke tarane gungunati thi hawaye.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mulana Salman Yunus, how are you doing this morning? Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, all is well. Durban said, what's the latest?
All good, alhamdulillah, all fine, shukr Allah ta'ala. And been a quiet week, you know, schools are all off this week, so the roads are less busy and everything. So, shukr Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Mulana, as we said yesterday, we'll be discussing on these issues about tashabbuh bil kufar, and especially with the Yahud in that. I mentioned earlier, and maybe you can just use this as an introduction. So we say boycott the ways of the kuffar. We say boycott the products of the rogue regime, Israel and the rest. But what about boycotting the ways of the kuffar, as you've mentioned yesterday, our topic will be for today. So together with this, just as an introduction, I said that we... You know, for the weddings, you'll find our Muslimin, they will wear all these suits and ties and the rest. But you just have to ponder, you don't have to be a rocket scientist or anything, to see that who are you imitating? Are you imitating the dress of the of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or are you imitating the dress code of Netanyahu, or if you want to say Donald Trump, all of them? They are all dressing like this. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-mar'u ma'a man ahab, that a person will be with whom he loves on the day of Qiyamah. Al-mar'u ma'a man ahab, that a person will be with whom he loves on the day of Qiyamah. So on this basis, Mulana, advise us, and Mulana can tell us what to do, how to do things.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah, all praise and thanks to Allah, that Allah has given us Iman, and every day we wake up, we should thank Allah Ta'ala for this year. That this Iman Allah Ta'ala has given us, this is the greatest gift that any person can receive from the side of Allah Ta'ala. And it is what's going to be our salvation in dunya, qabr, and akhirah. Throughout our life, we might see our Iman, it gets stronger, it gets weaker, our connection to Allah Ta'ala feels stronger, feels weaker. And this is something which we have to work towards till our dying breath, till we meet Allah Ta'ala. And there's many things that tends to affect our Iman. So we'll say, alhamdulillah, the past weekend, we had the ijtima that has happened in the for the Joburg region. And the, all the talks, if you listen to it, all about Iman and Yaqeen, Iman and Yaqeen. And this Yaqeen goes together with Iman. That once one is to believe in Allah Ta'ala, believe in the injunctions of the Sharia, of the teachings of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but how much conviction and yaqeen do we have that this is the only way of success? That we hear it, we might have been brought up with it, we heard many bayans about it, but has the realization entered that this is the only way of success? This is the only way to draw from the help of Allah Ta'ala. Now in life, we find that Allah Ta'ala has made the system of the world of asbab. Allah Ta'ala has made it such that we have to go out and we have to work, search for our rizq. When we are hungry, we have to eat. When we are thirsty, we have to drink. When we are sick, then we take the required medication. All this is the system of the world that Allah Ta'ala has created for us to recognize our dependency on Allah Ta'ala. That we are not independent. Only Allah Ta'ala is independent. And sometimes what happens is in life that as we are so used to the asbab, used to the means at our disposal, that we forget that Allah Ta'ala is allowing us to draw benefit from this. Allah Ta'ala is allowing us to get the benefit from these means. Because how many a times we might find that, you know what, I just put new batteries in this remote now and it's not working. Or I just sharpened the knife and it's not cutting. This is Allah Ta'ala drawing our attention back. That yes, utilize the means, but realize that nothing can happen except if Allah Ta'ala wants it to happen. And in today's world, this is a crucial point for us to remember. And why more so in today's time? You see, One is, we know the plight of the Palestinians, and every day we should be making dua. The first step for anything is turn to Allah Ta'ala. We read our Surah Al-Salah, we make dua to Allah Ta'ala, we beg of Allah Ta'ala, because as we said, all the powers of the world, even if hypothetically all the Muslim countries of all the world want to aid and speak out for the Palestinians, but if Allah Ta'ala doesn't want that help to come, then it will never come. So whilst our focus might be that this country, why aren't they helping, or this ICJ case is going on and we're waiting for the outcome, but if we just analyze what has happened so far, that not a single person or not a single country does not know of the atrocities that is happening in Palestine. And no one in their sane mind will defend it and realize that, no, there's nothing wrong happening. But yet, the whole world knows it, but nothing is being done to stop it. Where we saw against Russia and Ukraine, when the Ukraine was happening, up till now, there's still empathy, there's still sorrow, there's still people having this feeling of helping the Ukrainians. But when it comes to the Palestinian cause, there are many that are, all the facts are put forth, but yet nothing is being done. This is an eye-opener for all of us, that the world can never help, and the world will never help, unless Allah Ta'ala wants the help to come. And it's all dependent on our obedience to Allah Ta'ala. At the start, we mentioned regarding Iman and Yaqeen, and yes, as we are advised, that boycott those products. But how can we utilize those products? Why are we supplementing the income? Whatever effect it might have, whether it's having an effect, not having an effect, that's also a debatable matter. But let us not look at that there. Just let's look at one aspect with regards to our Iman and Yaqeen, that what many of us might be falling into and do not realize it. And that will come to our, lead up to our next point, inshallah. You see, when this boycott is going on, and if you see the social media, if you see all those people that are promoting boycott this product, boycott this tier, or their second tier, third tier, whatever it is. The problem with this is that full attention is only given to the boycott by many. Yes, there are those that do not do it, but by majority of the cases, if you're following all the feeds, that they are only focusing on the boycott. And what do I mean by this? We know of many people, alhamdulillah, that are boycotting. And they say, we don't know when last we drank Coke. We don't know when last we bought a Nestle product, etc. But when you look at their lifestyle, then their lifestyle is still so contrary to Sharia. It's not in the teachings of Islam and the teaching of Sunnah. That the same person who might be making a video, who might be making something and saying, this is the product here, this is very important to boycott. But one is the means that is being used, the photography that is being used is against Islam. It is not permissible. Secondly, on the day itself, the immodest dressing that is there, the hair that is being exposed, all these fundamental principles of Islam is being broken. For what? To say boycott an item. So why is this, why has this reached the stage? Our Iman and our Yaqeen has shifted. And this is a ploy which we must be careful of. Because Shaitan works in mysterious ways. And the world agenda, they know that Iman, Islam is haq. And they know that the help of Allah Ta'ala will only come to the Muslims when they are in obedience of Allah Ta'ala. So at times, what we say, Nurani Hijab, where something is made that you are doing so good, don't worry about anything else. So while majority of us might be involved in the boycotting, but our Iman, our Yaqeen is that this is the solution, which is an incorrect Yaqeen. That this is our only solution. Full focus is being placed on this here. That boycott this, boycott that, which is in its place and should be done. But that shouldn't be our only focus. Our main focus should be turning to Allah Ta'ala. And thereafter doing all this boycotting. Now what is the use of having a bucket full of water, but there's all holes at the bottom? The more you're going to fill the bucket, the more it's going to leak. You're not going to get any benefit. So we are boycotting and we are saying we are hurting. These so many stores are closed down in this country. This is the financial standing of Coke in the past week, in the past month. And we are getting excited. And sometimes I ask myself and I think to myself, are these figures, are these statistics actually put forward to weaken our iman? Are they actually put forward to make us shift our iman and our yaqeen, our trust in Allah, away from Allah and into the creation? Into the creation that this is working. Let us continue. And when our mindset goes towards this, that this is what we need to do only, then the true solution is forgotten. The true way out, that is the obedience of Allah Ta'ala, that is totally forgotten, because now we are being fed that this is working, this shop is closing, that shop is closing. But is this a deeper thinking? This is that ask ourselves, all these things are closing, but did the funding of Israel ever get less? Did America ever stop funding them to the certain, say, you know what, in these countries, we stopped, so many of our factories closed down, so we can't fund you anymore. We haven't heard that yet. But what we have heard, these are closing, that is closing. Is it there for us as a believer, as Muslims, to be beguiled, to be have a smoke screen, for us to forget that our only success is in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala? So many a times you'll find that people are boycotting, alhamdulillah, they are doing what they can do. But that is not the primary step. Primary step is complete ita'ah to Allah Ta'ala. Our ways, if we just correct our ways, if we just correct our dealings with Allah Ta'ala, the businesses even, so many businesses we might find that they say, you know what, on our shelves, we are not keeping this here. We are not keeping these products. And they're proud about it. They put signs up, alhamdulillah. But the same very business is involved in deep interest dealings. The same very business is regarded for stealing, for fraud, whatever it is. So we have to analyze ourselves that we must not get caught up in the lies of the world. We must not get caught up in the traps of the world. That yes, we will boycott and we must do it, as our consciousness does not behove us to say, you know what, carry on just buying it and not don't worry about anything. But at the same time, let us make sure that what we know as Quran and Sunnah has taught us, that when you obey Allah Ta'ala, then the help of Allah Ta'ala will come. And how many verses of Quran of Hadith talked about istighfar? That when you make istighfar, then the help of Allah will come. Allah will open the floodgates. Allah will make ease. Allah will make a way out from where you thought there'd be no way out. But that istighfar comes about only once you realize all the wrongs in my life I am doing. And now you make istighfar from it. But whereas if you just make istighfar and we don't realize, you know what, there's all these sins in my life, then where is the basis of that istighfar? Where will the benefit of and the power of the istighfar ever come before us? So the one point for today is that whilst we are boycotting, let us not lose our focus. Let us not be trapped that this is our solution. Our iman and yaqeen is in boycotting only. But rather, it should be remembered that our correct iman and our correct yaqeen is only Allah does. Allah Ta'ala can do without means, would means against means. Even if not a single person has to boycott a single item, but everyone turns to the obedience of Allah Ta'ala, help of Allah Ta'ala can come. While we are adopting the means, as you said, this is a world of asbab. And in today's world, it's a financial world. It's a world of money. It's a world that, say, money makes the world go round. But at the same time, we have to ask ourselves that, do we realize that this is not my solution? This is something that I'm trying to do as living in the world, as a citizen of the world. But Allah Ta'ala is the creator of the entire system. If I obey the creator doesn't need to follow the system. The creator can do against the system. What we can never fathom, what we can never imagine, Allah Ta'ala can make it happen. So one very important point, which I found very common in nowadays, that everyone, well, many people we come across and we talk and we see the post, and they also excited and proud about the boycotting. But the problem there is, where can the benefit of the boycott come to effect when we are not turning to Allah Ta'ala first? When we are not waking up for that Fajr Salah, we as men not performing our Salah with Jamaat in the Masjid, and now we expect the help of Allah Ta'ala to come because I'm not buying certain products, because I'm leaving it out. So we have to refocus our mind and rethink it. So you know what? Together with this boycott, but first, let me turn to Allah. Let me correct my life. We are all one ummah. And if the ummah corrects itself, Allah Ta'ala will fix the entire ummah. But if we are going to continue and continue in the ways we are doing, then we'll see, no matter what efforts you do, no matter who, which powers of the world we might have, there is nothing inside of Allah Ta'ala. Allah wants us to be in His obedience, then we will get the help of Allah Ta'ala. One is that boycott of the product. The second aspect is that we find, which is very, very closely related, is that we are boycotting the product and we are speaking out against the Jews, the Christians, the Kuffar, basically. But we are still following the ways of them. We are still living like them. We are eating like them. We are celebrating like them. So where is the sense in saying, let us stop the products of y'all, but don't worry, we'll still live like y'all. We'll still live like y'all. Yusuf rahmatullah alayhi, and some people came to him and they told him, make dua that Allah Ta'ala destroys the kuffar, the Jews and the Christians. Make dua, Allah Ta'ala destroys them. And Yusuf turned around and he says, that I won't make that dua, but I'll make dua, O Allah, remove the love of Yahudiyat and Nasraniyat from the heart of the mu'mineen. Remove the love of the ways of the kuffar, when I translate it, from the heart of the Muslimin. And this was such a profound statement of Yusuf al-Fatlari, because if we have to look at it, if tomorrow, every single disbeliever has to die, hypothetically speaking, right? And only the Muslims are alive. Will we follow the pure teachings of Islam still? Or will we live like non-Muslims now? Because we have become so accustomed to the lifestyle of the disbelievers, can we imagine, which is supposed to be the case, can so many women imagine that now I leave my house with the scarf on, with the hijab on? Can so many men imagine now my hair will be cut one in the according to Sunnah, now I keep the full beard? Or will they feel that hurt in their heart that, you know what, I didn't like them, but I loved their ways. I didn't like them, but I loved their ways. Their ways are engraved in my heart. And you know, recently there was some sporting cup that came to an end, and so many Muslims had it on their status regarding this club won the trophy. And I know of people that were gone for Umrah even. And in the Umrah, they're putting it on their status. In front of the Baytullah, in front of the Rosa Mubarak of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But still that love of that soccer, that love of that sport has penetrated the heart so deep that in front of the Baytullah, where that love is supposed to be overpowering, but this love of the ways of the kuffar are so deep in our heart that it almost cannot be removed as though nothing else can come in there. We have been brought up in the system of this Western society, of this modern society, where we are seeing the dressing of the Western world. And this is where our Islamic identity plays such a vital role. That the dressing of a Muslim, in today's time, you'll find an argument for every single thing. But ask your heart. That's the easiest thing to do. Don't ask no one. Ask your heart. If you want to know a Muslim, will you ever think of looking for a Muslim with a suit and tie? Will you ever think, if I'm looking for a Muslim in a crowd, let me look for a person with a clean-shaven beard? Or will your mind first go to turban, kurta, beard, pants above the ankles, niqab, hijab? That's the go-to sign, let me find a Muslim. And that is our identity. No matter how many of these scholars of the West, of the modern world, wants to push and say, no, my aura is covered, I'm fine. And tell them, fine, why don't you go in front of your meetings with a lungi, with the whole aura covered, and tell them, no, my aura is covered, I'm happy. They'll never do that there. They'll say, no, I have to dress appropriately. I have to dress neatly. And as Mawa mentioned at the beginning, these suits and ties, which is so common in the modern world of the kuffar. This is their identity. This is their identity. This is not our identity. Our identity is the sunnah libas. Even if you want to say, in the argument, they'll say, no, it's the Arab attire. It is fine, you want to call it the Arab attire. But in the world, what is it recognized as? Which religion is it associated with? It's associated with Muslims. If you want to look at the sari, if you want to look at whatever other, the Zulu garb, when you're going to put that on, automatically they'll never think this is a Muslim. They'll say this is a Zulu person, or this is an Indian person, this is a Hindu person, by the garb you are wearing. This is how we have been associated. By the clothes we wear, that is how we get associated to who we are. If you are wearing, example, if you are wearing overalls, blue overalls with those reflectors on, then automatically a person will think this is a government worker or a construction worker. everything plays a role. But because now we have this love of the kuffar in our heart, and we want to look like them, we want to be like them, so we try to find every single excuse and possible argument which doesn't even hold weight to try and say, no, it is fine in Islam. Who said Islam says I can't wear suit and tie? Who said it is impermissible? I'm wearing suit and tie. My pants is above my ankles. My aura is covered. So what's the problem? The problem is that who are you identifying as? Who do you look like? And it's very sad. You know, sometimes you hear the youngsters, you're busy with them. They say you're going for a wedding this weekend or something. You're talking to them, asking them what their plans for the weekend, for the long week. And they say, I got a suit and tie. And you feel so proud and honored that I got a suit and tie. I'm looking smart. I'm looking handsome. And they want to take the haram pictures or whatever it is. And you think to yourself, where did we go wrong? Where did we go wrong that a person doesn't feel proud to be recognized as a Muslim? A person doesn't feel honor that I look like my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that I resemble him, the best of all creation, the one who I say is my role model, who I say is the best. So why would I want to look like the enemies of Islam? Why would I want to look like them? You'll never find Netanyahu or any of the people of the world. You'll never find them wearing a kurta. Because they can never resemble the Muslims. They'll never do it. Yes, out of one, two things they might do. But this fear of identifying as a Muslim is never done. And this power of being identified as a Muslim, that is an awe in itself. Many a times you'll see you walk into a place, a person, mashallah, beard, kurta, turban is on. And everyone just automatically gives respect. It's not respect for the person, it's respect for the sunnah. It is the power of sunnah. It is the power of the attire of Islam that gives you that honor and respect. It's not you. If you walked in any other clothing, no one would have respected you. But the attire of the sunnah, attire of Islam, is what brings that respect in our hearts. So the love of the non-Muslims, the love of the way of the kuffar, whether it be in what we'll say, the weddings, in the celebrations, whatever haram celebrations too, that the Muslims are copying, whether it be the birthdays, whether it be the anniversary, whether it be some New Year's or whatever functions is happening, why have we been so duped into this way? That we are saying boycott them, boycott their products, but we are not boycotting their lifestyle. The moment we stop resembling them, and we, every person resembles Islam, every person is seen as a Muslim, you'll see what numbers we have. Leave numbers, you'll see what power that sight of just seeing so many Muslims will bring in the hearts of the kuffar. That fear that tremble in the hearts of the kuffar just by seeing so many Muslims, that in itself is a power on its own. So we have to really rethink this here, that one is we are advocating and we are going forward for the boycott. But more than that, there, let us turn to the Allah Ta'ala. Correct the iman and yaqeen that my only success, my only salvation for us, for our Palestinian brothers, for people in Syria, people in other parts of Kashmir, wherever it is, it's only for us going back to Allah. These are eye-openers for us. That what am I doing? I'm doing everything what the world is telling me to do, but no success is coming. Let me go back and realize my mistake that I never turned to Allah Ta'ala first. And every day in Salah, every day we say, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ. When you ask Allah for guidance, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ. We say, guide us on the path when we are favored, and not on the path of the Jews and the Christians, those that have gone astray, those that have earned your anger. Every day we make this dua in Salah. But imagine what a heart of hypocrisy that is, that we're standing in Salah making that dua, but yet my clothing is resembling every single bit of them. I'm asking Allah, don't make me like them. But my hair is like them, my clothes is like them, my pants is like that them, everything is like that them. And now I'm making the dua. Where will that dua ever have any power behind it? We have to, what they say, walk the walk and talk the talk. So when we're making that dua, together with that day, we have to make some change in our life. We have to bring that change towards Allah Ta'ala. Then we'll see that help, that nusrat of Allah Ta'ala pulling close. So that was the message I thought we'll share today, inshallah, because many are getting hooked in this boycott. While it is something which we should be doing, but with the correct iman, with the correct yaqeen, with the correct understanding that nothing can do, only Allah does. And if I only turn to Allah Ta'ala, I will see success. But if I'm not going to turn to Allah Ta'ala, it doesn't matter what I might do. If I want to continue in the ways of the kuffar, in resembling them, in being like them, in loving them, then it's very, very scary. Ulama warn that on our deathbed, we don't know whether we'll be able to recite the kalima. And there's so many incidents of people who love these people of the world, the sport. And on their deathbed, this is what came out from their heart. Nothing of the kalima, but this is what came out in the heart. May Allah Ta'ala grant us understanding and tawfiq of turning to Him in obedience completely and realizing our only success is Him, is in Allah Ta'ala alone. Jazakallah, Mawlana.
Jazakallah khairan, Mawlana, for that advice and clarifying that issue as well. That having, Mawlana is stressing because some people, they'll listen to one part and not take the other part. So the stress is on, yes, boycott, but do it with the correct iman, as Mawlana has said. So, Jazakumullah khairan, Mawlana, make dua for us as well. Inshallah, we'll meet you next week. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa
barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahle Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
سحر کا وقت تھا معصوم کلیاں مسکراتی تھی ہوائے خیر مقدم کے ترانے گنگناتی تھی ہوائے خیر